This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Primary day in Kentucky and Oregon. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Bruce Johnson, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, May 17. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Democratic rivals Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are both desperate for wins. Meanwhile, Republican Donald Trump's newest rival is apparently the New York Times.
The Supreme Court has punted on a dispute between the Obama administration and religious organizations over mandated contraception coverage.
Reports say the engineer in the fatal Amtrak crash in Philadelphia a year ago was distracted by radio messages.
And how to get a college degree while also cutting tuition costs.
Well, one of the first things you can do, and this is something to think about when your child is still a high school student, would be to look at certain things like AP classes, college-level examination programs, different exams that will let you get college credit without taking those college courses. It's based on your knowledge as a student, as a high school student.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on getting through college as quickly as possible to reduce potential debt. She's here in about 20 minutes. One of Donald Trump's former girlfriends says the New York Times took advantage of her to make the Republican presidential candidate look bad. Over the weekend, the Times ran a lengthy front-page story headlined, "Crossing the Line, How Donald Trump Behaved with Women in Private." The Times interviewed 50 women from his past, but Roanne Brewer Lane, a former model who's the centerpiece of the Times story, said yesterday that she was misquoted and that the paper intentionally mischaracterized what she said to make Mr. Trump seem boorish.
I think they had an agenda with that one, because as many times as I asked and as many times as they promised that it was not a hit piece, clearly it was.
Several women in the story said the New York businessman made unwelcome sexual advances or sought to shame them by critiquing their appearances. In an interview with The Hill yesterday afternoon, Ms. Brewer Lane lashed out at the Times reporters, saying she spent hours on the phone with them to let people know how well Trump treats women. The Times says it stands by its reporting. Well, voters in Kentucky and Oregon head to the polls today, the next states on the primary calendar. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, campaigning in Kentucky, is desperate to walk back comments from March, which she said, as president, she'd put coal miners and coal companies out of business.
I am the only candidate with a plan, a $30 billion plan to help coal country, to help coal miners.
Meanwhile, chief rival Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, is showing that he'll battle for every last delegate, flying yesterday to Puerto Rico, which holds a caucus on June 5th.
We need a major jobs program in Puerto Rico by rebuilding the infrastructure here and aggressively moving toward a clean energy economy.
Even if Mr. Sanders were to continue his recent winning streak, by the way, victories this evening would not make much of a dent in Mrs. Clinton's overall lead among delegates. Mr. Sanders is expected to win in Oregon, but the Clinton campaign is hopeful about Kentucky, a state she carried easily 8 years ago. Meanwhile, though Senator Sanders is far behind in the delegate count, his victories continue to raise questions about the strength of Mrs. Clinton's appeal and delay her effort to unify the Democratic Party to take on Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo Flores has a look at Mrs. Clinton's strengths and weaknesses in Kentucky. Ariane, what have you found?
Kentucky's different. It's the coal industry is smaller there than in West Virginia, and Clinton has some other factors that are working in her favor. She's got a longstanding connection to the state. Her husband, Bill Clinton, carried Kentucky in both 1992 and 1996. He was the last Democrat to do so. They're close to Democratic establishment figures in the state who have rallied behind her and have been campaigning with her. It's a closed primary, which has tended to favor her because you can't get independents voting in there that have been a strength for Senator Sanders. And so, you know, there, I think everyone believes that this is going to be a closely fought state. Both of the candidates have been fighting and campaigning hard in recent days to capture it. Several of the analysts I spoke to give her a slight edge.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo Flores. His piece is called Hillary Clinton's Strengths and Weaknesses in Kentucky. So over the weekend, I think she pointed to the auto industry as well, right? Tried to draw a distinction between her and Mr. Sanders.
Right, yeah. She criticized his failure to back a measure that bailed out the auto industry. His response to that has been that he couldn't back that because it included measures that bailed out Wall Street firms. And as we know, that's been a central plank of his campaign. And so there was some back and forth between the candidates in recent days. Sanders' argument is that he would be a more formidable foe to Donald Trump in the fall because of his strength among independents, and he, you know, points to polling that some polling that backs him up on that. But they also spent a lot of their time, particularly Hillary Clinton, criticizing Donald Trump. That has been a lot of what her message has been. She's in this odd position of trying to look ahead to the general election and start sort of framing the contest for the fall, and yet still dealing with Senator Sanders, who, you know, persistently keeps winning contests and keeps her from being able to move into general election mode.
What do the experts say his advantages are in Kentucky, or why might he win on Tuesday?
Well, so one thing would be the coal comments, that, you know, the possibility of there being protest votes against Hillary Clinton, particularly in the areas of the state, like in the east, where there are the coal fields and where there's quite a bit of resentment and resistance to Hillary Clinton. There's also the possibility that, you know, Democrats in Kentucky tend to be more conservative. Donald Trump won the caucuses in the state and, you know, has some significant backing in Kentucky. And so there's some concern that some folks who might be registered as Democrats but are really going to vote for Trump in the fall are going to cast ballots against Clinton. Sanders also might benefit from young voters in some of the towns with big colleges like Lexington or Bowling Green. He's got some of those factors potentially working in his favor. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be very close. Some of the experts I spoke to said that particularly in a low turnout contest, which some analysts are projecting, it's kind of anyone's guess.
Mm. And Mrs. Clinton really was kind of dragged back into this, right? I think she was anticipating Kentucky would be in the win column for her. Then I guess she felt that things got tight, right? She went back on the air with TV ads and started making visits.
Right. I think what harmed her were these recent losses in Indiana and West Virginia, which, you know, both border Kentucky and have some similar characteristics to parts of the state.
Thanks, Ariane. Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo Flores. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal.
Total access to the world. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, glad you could be with us on this Tuesday. The Supreme Court has sent a dispute between religious employers and the Obama administration over contraceptive coverage back to lower courts to find a compromise. At issue is whether religious organizations like Catholic hospitals or universities, for example, must offer contraception coverage under Obamacare. Both sides are claiming at least partial victory. Here's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
We obviously were pleased with the announcement from the Supreme Court today. It will allow millions of women across the country to continue to get the health care coverage that they need.
The justices yesterday returned the contraception issue to the lower courts to review whether recent movements in the party's positions had paved the way to possible compromise. Sister Constance Viette of the Little Sisters of the Poor was on Fox News.
You know, we really didn't have a plan if we lost, because we've been around since 1839, and God has protected us and provided for us all those years. And so we just have been praying like crazy.
Yesterday's decision by the High Court prolongs the four-year fight. It also highlights how the death of Justice Antonin Scalia 3 months ago has hurt the ability of the eight remaining members to resolve the most contentious cases. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Bruce Johnson is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, good morning. The Los Angeles Unified School District has agreed to pay $88 million to settle teachers' sex abuse lawsuits involving 30 children and their families at two elementary schools. The cases involve two veteran teachers who are serving long prison terms after pleading no contest to molestation charges. The National Transportation Safety Board will issue its opinion today on last year's deadly Amtrak crash near Philadelphia, but there's already word leaking out that the engineer may have been distracted by radio transmissions. Eight people died in the accident. The Senate plans to vote today on President Obama's request for money to combat the Zika virus. Lawmakers are considering three plans, but the bipartisan proposal to cut Obama's $1.9 billion request to $1.1 billion has the greatest opportunity to advance. Now, Florida is one state that is directly in the path of Zika, and South Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz is pleading for help.
Being protected from the fine.
This is such an urgent issue that Governor Scott, Senator Rubio, President Obama, and myself all agree on it. I'd challenge anyone to find another issue like this that has brought the four disparate ideological individuals together.
We now know that Zika can cause a serious birth defect, and it's expected to spread more widely during the summer mosquito season. Big upset in the NBA playoffs last night. It was Oklahoma City winning at Golden State 108-102. The Thunder now lead the defending champion Warriors 1-0. And St. Joseph High School in Metuchen, New Jersey, has a roster of well-known alumni, our own Gordon Deal, a couple of former NBA players in Andrew Bynum and Jason Williams, and now the new league rookie of the year, Carl Anthony Towns. The Minnesota Timberwolf is a unanimous pick after averaging 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks.
When you're a rookie, I think the biggest thing is the pressure. You know, there's a lot of pressure. I had additional pressure from being the number one pick.
You St. Joe's guys can really deal with the pressure, Gordon.
Listen, I know he's good, but I just want to be clear. He has never blocked one of my shots.
No.
No, not ever. And, by the way, how many soccer county championships did he win in high school? Zero. How many for me? One. Okay, so let's not get overly excited about Mr. Towns' performance here.
Wow, throwing it down.
Throwing it down. By the way, the number of times we played together, zero, just to be clear. 22 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Get away and stay at Lexington Inns and Hotels. With great rates and exceptional quality, our guests always come first. Visit LexingtonHotels.com today. One of the best approaches to colleges these days, get your degree as quickly as possible. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com says, if you want to cut college costs and limit student debt, then the old adage is true. Time is money. Kelly, explain.
Well, one of the first things you can do, and this is something to think about when your child is still a high school student, would be to look at certain things like AP classes, college-level examination programs, different exams that will let you get college credit without taking those college courses. It's based on your knowledge as a student, as a high school student. But the thing to consider there is, depending on the colleges where your student applies to, you know, this may or may not be accepted as credit for graduation. It might be used to help them place out of, say, you know, Spanish level one, you know, into a higher level Spanish class, but they're not necessarily going to take it and go, you know, great, here's, you know, your AP history credit. That means you don't have to take this class, and, you know, it's one more credit toward graduation. They're not necessarily looking at it that way.
Okay, okay. All right, other strategies.
Start in college classes early, just to see if any of your local colleges do offer things like concurrent enrollment or other access for high school students. We do see a lot of colleges will let local high school students take a college class or two free. So depending on how your schedule works, if your student has extra time, that might be something that they consider. But again, you want to make sure that this is something that, you know, your other colleges that you might apply to, that they're going to accept that as credit if you're really doing it with this idea that you're going to offset your costs and maybe graduate a little faster.
Got it. We're speaking with Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. We're talking about her piece entitled How to Get Your College Degree and Slash Tuition Costs at the Same Time. So the idea of a three-year program, I mean, do schools actually offer that, or do you have to sort of piece that together yourself?
Some of them do, and I mean, that's the distinction that's important here is, you know, we see people that have researched faster college degrees, and a lot of cases, you know, these are people who are trying to cram 4 years worth of requirements into 3 years, and that's going to be a very different story than, say, a college that does have a specified accelerated program. We do see those schools like Syracuse University, for example, Purdue University. Some of the schools within those universities have special accelerated programs, and a lot of those cases it does mean, say, like you're giving up your summers and you're going to go attend over the summer, or you're going to have particular levels of coursework that are going to get you through in less time than normal.
Mm. All right, what is this about a competency-based program?
This you want to be careful with. These are certain universities will say that they're going to, you know, look at your life skills, your life experience, your work experience to help give you certain college credit to help you move through the degree faster. And, you know, what we hear there is it really does come down to the individual program. So you want to be looking for a college or university that has a good program, maybe happens to offer some of these extra competency-based credits.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, May 17. Gordon Deal with Bruce Johnson, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines, primary day in Kentucky and Oregon. Supreme Court punts on Obamacare contraception coverage. Reports say the engineer in the fatal Amtrak crash in Philadelphia a year ago was distracted by radio messages. Los Angeles will pay $88 million to settle 30 sex abuse cases at two elementary schools. More evacuations from that wildfire in Alberta, Canada. Megyn Kelly one-on-one with Trump tonight on Fox, and how underdogs everywhere are now the Leicester City of everything. That story in about 20 minutes. Republicans have their largest House majority since the Great Depression, thanks to sweeping electoral gains over the last 6 years. But Donald Trump's rise in the presidential primary has led to concerns about the fate of Republican candidates down the ballot this fall, and whether his divisive candidacy and lack of party unity will cost the GOP seats in Congress. It's a story from James Arkin at Real Clear Politics. James, paint the landscape.
Democrats are hoping that with Donald Trump as the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, that they might have an opening to actually put the majority of the House of Representatives in play. Right now, they have about a 30-seat deficit. Republicans have their largest majority since back in the Great Depression. Republicans have 247 seats in the House. 218 makes a majority. So Democrats would need to win 30 seats back, and that's a really, really tall order for them, particularly given redistricting in 2010 means that not a lot of these seats are actually competitive. You know, a very small number are competitive. Most of them, Democratic and Republican seats, are very easy wins for the member of Congress just because of the way the district lines are drawn. But Democrats think that in those small number of seats that could potentially be competitive, Donald Trump, as the Republican nominee, will make it so that they can win a vast majority of those.
Wow.
Now, they're not exactly predicting that they'll do that yet. They're not saying that for sure they'll be able to take back the House. But even the fact that it's a conversation over whether it could be possible is really, really surprising, given how small their minority is.
Which do you think they feel more strongly about in terms of making inroads or perhaps reclaiming a majority, the Senate or the House?
Oh, absolutely. No question. They feel much more confident about the Senate. Right now, it's only 54 to 46 in favor of Republicans, and there are seven seats up for re-election this year in states that President Obama won in 2012. You know, you have battlegrounds like New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, where Democrats are really bullish on their opportunity to win some of these seats, and it would only take four if they win the White House to win back the Senate. So no question, they think they have a much better shot at the upper chamber.
We're speaking with James Arkin, congressional correspondent at Real Clear Politics. He's got a story entitled, Democrats Aim to Retake the House. Is it understood or believed here, James, that more people than ever are voting the entire line? Is that part of polarization today?
Yeah, it's part of polarization today, and it's sort of a, you know, it's just the way that the parties have been set up. And, you know, another thing about that is, as I mentioned, the redistricting that took place in 2012, you have these districts that, you know, are pretty evenly split. You have districts that are very heavily Democratic or very heavily Republican, and so just the way everything sets up, voters these days are much less likely to go in and say, I support this person for president, but I'm going to go the other way for a House candidate. Now, it does happen. That's not to say that it doesn't happen. There still are Republicans who were elected in 2012 in districts that favored President Obama, and that's Republican strategy, is they're going to try through data and through other methods to identify who those voters are who might be willing to do that. And they hope that they can convince enough voters to separate the presidential from the House candidate in order to be elected in these seats. But it's a tall order. It's going to be pretty difficult for them to do that.
Thanks, James. James Arkin at Real Clear Politics. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. By the way, if you like small business stories or perhaps are looking for free tips on managing your small business or startup, you can check out the Small Business Report, available on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Thanks for being with us, and a good Tuesday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So we often talk on this show, Gordon, about the best and worst jobs to have in 2016. Well, if you can set aside your feelings about as many out-of-the-ring transgressions, one of the most lucrative gigs you could land might be that of boxer Floyd Mayweather's personal barber. A woman named Jackie Starr told TMZ Sports that she cuts Mayweather's hair 2 to 3 times a week at a whopping $1,000 per cut. Sometimes he does it like on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Is that right?
Not even kidding.
Just to be clear, that's, you did put down 3 zeros.
Yeah.
After the 1 and a comma, that's not an error.
I don't know if that includes tip or not. That could be pre-tip for all we know. Starr says she met Floyd in 2001 but didn't start trimming his locks until 2009, in which time she's become the only barber who cuts his hair at home or abroad. If you're having a hard time even picturing Mayweather with hair, your memory's not failing you.
Yeah.
The champ's hairstyle has rarely deviated from a standard shaved head, which is typically the least costly option in any barbershop. So, should the former boxer ever opt for a more extravagant hairdo, Starr could probably make herself a small fortune.
Because $3,000 a week isn't a small fortune.
Well, yeah, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, that is true. But I mean, yeah,
holy
cow. You know, shaved head. I assumed that her services would cost a little more if she had actually do some work.
So a more extravagant hairdo would lead to a greater fortune.
Yeah, I'm wondering what she does for the shaved head, or how she justifies the $1,000. Like, how much time does she take to carefully cut off those three or four hairs that grew in since Wednesday? You know, on Friday.
Just imagine if she put in roughly 40 hours a week at that rate, because shaving a head, I'm quite sure, takes less than an hour.
It should.
Let's say it takes the full 60 minutes. That's $1,000 an hour.
Yeah. She's doing well.
Wow.
So we'll have to follow her career and see if maybe there's an opening there at some point.
No, more than that, Mike, is that what services can we offer to Floyd Mayweather,
right,
who's willing to pay that kind of money for stuff?
You wonder why these guys have all these people hanging on all the time, because they're willing to pay a lot of money for seemingly very little.
I have a thought.
Yes.
I have a thought. Before the show begins each day, we call Floyd Mayweather and just give him his own personal news update.
I'd say that would be a great idea, although he might not appreciate the 5 a.m. call.
Okay, straight to voicemail.
I can't imagine.
So he has it on his cell phone when he wakes up in the morning.
Huh? There you go.
All right, $1,000.
We're going to get cracking.
$7.95, actually. Discount fee ops for it today.
And when you're making plans for Memorial Day, Gordon, you rarely have to go outside to shovel snow, even in northern New England. That's why folks in northern Maine were surprised to wake up to nearly 3.5 inches of snow yesterday morning, setting a record for the most snow this late in May. Not to be outdone, Vermont's Mount Mansfield set a record with 5.6 inches of snow, beating the old record of 4 inches in 1984. Thankfully, though, much of the snow was short-lived. The forecast calls for temperatures to rise with rain in and both northern New Hampshire and Maine.
Man,
got a little tripped up on the weather there.
This global warming, I mean, it's just out of control.
We're calling it climate change, Gordon. It's not warming. Things are changing.
I see.
And they definitely are changing.
Spring snow.
We've been complaining. That's been kind of indicative of what we had here on the East Coast. We've been complaining that for years now that we haven't really had much of a spring anymore, right? It goes basically straight from winter right into summer. We're actually having spring this year, and everyone doesn't like it because we forgot what spring was like. Spring is chilly, spring is rainy, and we're now ready for summer.
On Sunday, my son played a soccer game in an estimated 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yes.
Right? And we were joking, wow, we can't wait till mid-May when the weather gets really nice and we get out of this March weather.
We were at a minor league baseball game over the weekend. I actually posted this on Facebook. Wow, great to go to a ball game in the middle of February, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. This has been like the winter and spring of wind, I feel like, here where we are in the Northeast. Just wind constantly.
Bring on the heat.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Bruce Johnson is back with more of America's First News.
Both sides are claiming victory after the Supreme Court kept alive a legal challenge from faith-based groups over the Obama administration's rules for cost-free access to birth control. President Obama says the practical effect right now is that women will still continue to be able to get contraception. But opponents say religious groups will have a chance to make their case to the lower courts. Sister Constance Viet of the Little Sisters of the Poor, speaking to Fox News, is pleased.
Being protected from the fines, because they're just huge at $70 million a year, and also for the court to have recognized legitimacy of our religious liberty concerns. So it was a good day.
Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton hopes to slow down Bernie Sanders today in the Kentucky primary, where 61 delegates are at stake. Clinton easily won that primary 8 years ago, and she is looking to repeat.
Bring everybody you know to go vote in the primary, and then let's do everything we can to win Kentucky in November.
Sanders today is expected to win in Oregon. One of Donald Trump's former girlfriends is pushing back on a New York Times story saying her comments were distorted to smear him.
I would have expected them to leave me out of it because I didn't give them hit piece info until they spun it. And then it appeared that way.
The remarks from Roanne Brewer Lane, a former model who is the centerpiece of the Times front page story, which ran over the weekend, detailing the presumptive Republican presidential nominee's past treatment of the women he dated or employed. A new report suggests that while grandma's cholesterol may be okay, perhaps the doctor should be asking her about her social life. Research suggests that, in addition to physical ailments, factors such as loneliness also play a role in the well-being of older adults. And around it goes. The International Space Station has circled the Earth 100,000 times. NASA says the space station reached the milestone yesterday. Those 100,000 orbits are equivalent to 10 round trips to Mars, but it gets lousy gas mileage.
Very good. Thank you, Bruce.
All right, Gordon.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Given the wildly unpredicted success of the Leicester City soccer team in England, which beat, as you know, 5,000-to-1 odds to win the elite Barclays Premier League, there's a new phrase involving the team, and it's now hip to say that you're the Leicester City of something. The way we used to say, you're the Michael Jordan of the sales team, for example. The Wall Street Journal says one British newspaper suggested that Donald Trump, who started as an outsider for the presidential nomination, could yet be the Leicester City of American politics. One reviewer for the Daily Express was so impressed by the little-known London cast of Guys and Dolls that he called the Broadway classic the Leicester City of musical theater, unknown but magnificent. No underdog is refusing the label, by the way. The Journal says even the Glastonbury Chess Club is in, competing in a British regional chess league. The website says Glastonbury's Division II performances this season make them the Leicester City of the Somerset Chess League. For Bruce Johnson, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal.